Hebrews chapter 7. As all of you know, I believe at least by now, I love the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, with Jimmy Stewart playing George Bailey. In the beginning of that movie, there's two that have been made. There may be a new one, I don't know. There's one that was made with the woman as the main character, and I saw that one years ago, and don't waste your time, you know. Jimmy Stewart blows it out of the park, and it's really good. But in the beginning of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, with the character George Bailey, the beginning of that movie takes place in the spiritual realm, okay? And it's Hollywood, as Hollywood was then anyway, but it takes place in the spiritual realm. But you have to watch almost the entirety of the movie before that spiritual realm scene in the opening starts making sense. You have to watch the whole thing. And you have to see that he had lived a life spent for others, protecting others, taking loss for others, seeing others prosper, seeing others advance, and then taking a fall for a less than polished uncle. You know, you say haphazard maybe, yes, I would say so, who made a horrible but a simple mistake of misplacing money in the newspaper, and that he was going from the building and loan to deposit into Mr. Potter's bank. And he made a horrible mistake, a simple but horrible mistake that put the very freedom of George Bailey at risk if he was going to, as well, at this time, take the hit for someone else. The culmination of long-term stress as the movie unravels, pain and disappointment leaves George so sad in the movie that he wishes that he had never been born. He had never been born. And considers the worst of options. All right, there on the bridge with the river, half-frozen river down below him, the snowstorm. And he's given the chance by Clarence, the angel, to see what the world would be like had he never lived. And so it goes into that storyline. As he's going through this anguish of spirit, as you see played out through the majority of the movie and towards the end, those who love him and those who know him are praying earnestly for him, that God would grace his life, God would protect his life, God would restore him in whatever need that he believed that he had. In other words, they're asking God for help, right? They're asking God for help. And not just help, God, but please, please, Lord, help. Please help. And so I tried to look up the lines of the different characters in this opening scene. And the first, of course, is Mr. Gower, the drugstore owner. The drugstore owner who, in his distress about his own son, you know, mistakenly put poison in the bottle instead of the medicine. But George Bailey, even as a boy, protected him and loved his boss. And Mr. Gower's voice says, in praying to God in this spiritual realm as that's taking place, he says, I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear Father. Help him, dear Father. Now, Martini's voice, of course, he is Catholic, so you'll have to bear with me on this. But he says, Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey. Mrs. Bailey's voice, his mother, she prays all during the same time, help my son George tonight. Bert's voice, if you do not know, fun fact to know and tell, is where Sesame Street got the Bert and Ernie names from. Bert's voice in his prayer. He says, speaking about George, he says, he never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble. Pretty insightful from Bert. Ernie's voice says, George is a good guy. Give him a break, God. Give him a break. Mary, of course, his wife, she says, I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight. Janie's little voice says, please, God, something's the matter with Daddy. She doesn't know. The kids don't know. Really, not even Mary knew at that point. Something's the matter with Daddy. Zuzu, remember Zuzu's petals? Zuzu, the little baby girl, she says, please bring Daddy back. Now she's praying to God and asking God to please bring Daddy back. And then it kind of fades, so many of the townspeople are heard speaking all at once in whispers and talking over one another, all listening, God listening to them all. And they are saying things like, please help George, please help Mr. Bailey. Intercessory prayer is very important. It's very, very important. So important that even the God that we love and serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of the Son, practices this holy work to pray for others. The most tender of prayers most of us have ever heard come from the lips of a woman or the tender lips of a child. I don't know about you, but I believe I can say hands down, of all the most precious prayers I've ever heard in my life, the most tender of prayers come from the tender sex, the ladies, mothers, grandmothers, sisters, little girls, and of course, from children. I believe they are softer in their spirit, and more often than not, they're softer in their spirit than most men could ever be, or certainly are, in their life. I think it's healthy for men to lead. I do. I think it's very healthy for men to lead in prayers and in leadership. This I know. But I do think we're missing something a little bit in our families if the daddy is the ever one, always just the one, the only one to ever pray out loud. I think we're missing something. I really do. I don't want to take anything away from male leadership when the whole world seems to be wanting to take everything away from male leadership. But I think we do miss something if we're not careful. We miss something there that is very healthy and very good. During the prayers, we offer unto our God, and did offer unto our God on New Year's Eve, and praying on behalf of all of the members here. One was the voice of a little girl, a little bitty girl, a stubby leg little girl by the name of Rinley. And she bowed her head over on the table. They were all just sitting around, the courageous few left, you know. She bowed her head on that table in front of her and offered her little prayer. And it's tender, isn't it? When your children pray, my children have prayed, it's very tender, very touching. Second to that would only be the tender heart of ladies as they pray. I just think that's the way it is. As I said again, intercessory prayer is so important. God Himself prays for others. In Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 24. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. The Apostle Paul, turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I want you to see the Apostle Paul wanted everyone to know that the Holy Spirit likewise has the same type of ministry, intercessory ministry on God's children, or with in regards to God's children. Romans 8, look at verse 26 and 27. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our, talking about the believers, our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So we're not too good at this. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So this intercessory praying for from the Son and also from the Holy Spirit are the best models for each and every one of us to follow for other people. What the Lord does for us, we should be attempting to do for others and pray on their behalf. We're going to be, of course, in 1 Timothy for a series as we go here. So go over to chapter 2, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll be still in chapter 1 next in the series. But here I want you to see that Paul is exhorting Timothy, this young preacher, don't forget to pray for others. Don't forget to pray for others. Now, young people do not have a track record. Most young people, the vast majority, do not have the same track record of hardships as do the elderly. Would you agree with that? You have to live some years before you start running into a lot of life's major trials and hardships, right? And so if you're not careful as a young man, you can be a little bit haughty, you can be a little bit condescending, you could be a little bit too judgmental about things if you're not careful. And it poisons the well of your own spirit. And Paul knows that, and he doesn't want Timothy to fall prey to that. So he encourages Timothy. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first thing, supplications, plural, prayers, plural, intercessions, plural, and giving of thanks, plural, you see that? Be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? Well, because sometimes those potentates, those rulers, are kind of working contrary to the good things of Almighty God. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Another one of the things that the young chafe against is authority. And so Paul is trying to minister and is ministering to Timothy and giving him great building blocks, foundational building blocks for his life and for his gospel ministry. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, all of them, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. The young go, well, bless God, I mean, they're so wicked, they deserve to go to hell 10,000 times over, you know, that attitude. Well, that usually comes more from the young than it does the elders, doesn't it? And you don't want to pull the fire out of a guy's belly, I'll tell you, you don't want to do that. At the same time, you'd like to see it tempered. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now go to Colossians chapter 1. Paul makes mention here of leadership's prayer, that he and the other leaders that he's engaged with and praying for the churches, and that means for people, for members of these churches. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Excuse me. Colossians 1, look at verse 3. We, So he's not just speaking about just himself. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Praying always for you. Now, if you were to ask me, Pastor, is there ever a time where you get so frustrated with church members you just want to choke them to death? Yes. Yes. Just pretend they just choked on a banana peel or whatever, you know, and you preach their funeral and just grin all the while. Yes, I would have to tell you the truth. Yes. Church members can get frustrating. Absolutely, they can. What's one of the best cures? Pray for them. Pray for them. And the first thing that happens when you start praying for them, you get under conviction. And then your sentiment, your heart starts to change. We give thanks to God and the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you. So it's bringing forth fruit in all of those who exercise faith, as it also is in you as you exercise your faith, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So in other words, we'd say when you were saved, since the first. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day, so not only us, but Epaphras would be included in that, right? For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We're not done. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, not finished yet, and increasing in the knowledge of God, not finished yet, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, not finished yet, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now let me just stop there. When we pray for others, by this model alone, we see that we ought not to be praying such short prayers for others and such long prayers for ourselves. But rather contrary, we ought to be praying long prayers for others and perhaps shorter prayers for ourselves. Now, you can tell if an individual, and you can tell in your own life, in your own heart, if you are really engaged in intercessory prayer for others, if you pray longer and more earnestly for others than you do for yourself. Now, I'm not saying you should never pray for yourself, that God would help you or God would bless you. You certainly should. But you can just tell where a person's heart is if they spend, you know, 95% of the time asking God to bless them and 5% of the time with just a short mention of other people who are in greater need than we ourselves. Amen. Amen. Brother Colt made mention the other night, we are to put God first, and that's true. And in our prayers, we ought to be putting God first. God is good, God is great, yes. We ought to be praising God. We ought to be honoring Him and we ought to be worshiping Him, honoring Him in our prayers. And then we ought to be praying for others. Others, Lord, others. May we always be. Put others first and me, ourselves, last. Last. It's an excellent example to teach our children how they ought to pray. It's an excellent example to teach our children how not to be selfish brats. To teach them to pray for others more earnestly, longer than they pray for themselves. Teach them, instruct them to pray for others. Now, I think the it seems like the vast majority of Christians that are raising their small children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they're doing a fine job on this. Because when you hear the children pray, and yes, sometimes I slip into the little ones' classrooms and all over here. When you hear the little ones pray in their homes or at church or wherever you hear them pray, you hear them pray things like this. God bless mommy and daddy. God bless my brother. God bless my sister, right? And God bless my friend, Susie, whoever, you know. God bless my teacher. God bless my preacher. By the way, you can tell families who are teaching their children these things and to pray for their preacher and love their preacher. You can tell. And then ultimately they get down and God bless me. Right? God bless mommy. God bless daddy. And they just kind of go around, you know, circle the wagon. God bless mommy, daddy. God bless grandma. God bless grandpa. God bless Nana. God bless papa. Right? That is excellent groundwork for teaching your children not only how to pray, how to intercede for others, but how to put others first and ourselves last. It is excellent foundational Christian teaching and training. Colossians 1:9 again, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, you know, I know we won't say it's absolutely correct to say we ought to wish for, but I think in the sense of the spiritual desire, we ought to wish for God's best for others, and we ought to work for God's best for others. And I think at the heart of it, that's what Brother Colt was talking about Sunday night. We ought to work for Him. We ought to wish for the best of God for others' lives and its relationship to the church. My wife has had the names of certain individuals on her mirror over the years for not just a couple of days, not even a couple of weeks, not even a couple of months, years. For special ones that she was praying for long term that were very troubled and needed some extra prayers offered. Extra prayers offered. And only heaven will reveal, because it's not proper to go there, only heaven will reveal how God has answered some of those prayers through the years that she offered unto God. But I can tell you, some have been answered already. They have. They've been answered already. And we praise God for that. Now, in my mind, it's a good deal of the tenderness of a woman's spirit her makes her so prone to have such a godly practice to pray for someone so long. I don't know about you. Brother Tim, maybe you're, you know, more spiritual minded than I am. You know, if you're acting like a scamp, you know, just giving me grief, I'll pray for you for a while. Then I might start praying at you. You know what I mean? Lord, get him right. Right? Lord, get him right. Lord, bring conviction on his soul. You know, one of those. Your power coming down from Mount Sinai type prayers, you know. Lord, heap coals of fire upon his head, which is, of course, abuse of the scripture. That's not what it means at all. But I've heard preachers pray that, right? In other words, get him, God, get him. Well, you know, that, I'm not talking about you, Clayton. It's okay. Well, maybe sometimes. You better watch it, boy. But more often than not, those who persevere long, you know what I'm saying? Those that persevere long, who are they normally? They're the fairer sex, if the truth be known. The women. The girls. Is that not so? I think it is. And that's a conviction to all of us, and including myself. Intercession is one of the hardest works that God gives us. And it's because it is completely selfless in its requirement. You can't be a selfish individual and be highly engaged in intercessory prayer for other people. If we are selfish people, the perfect solution is to become a strong intercessory prayer warrior for others. If you find yourself, you've concluded, you've looked within your own heart and you've concluded, I'm a selfish person. And in this world, that's more easy to reach than not. Have it your own way. I mean, all these years since Burger King came out with that slogan. Everything needs to go, everything going my way, you know. And now we have socialism, communism, more selfishness. What happened to that old saying? Ask not what, you know, my country can do for me, but what I can do for my country. It's long faded, man. Long faded. What's one of the best solutions we could offer to that? Learn how to pray, sincerely pray for other people. Sincerely pray for other people. When I was praying for my daddy, when he was laying up there on that bed, when his bottom number on the blood pressure thing was, I think, was 18. The bottom, he looked like death. He did. He looked like death. I knelt there beside him and asked the Lord if I have ever found grace in his sight to restore him. Take from me and give to him. And I don't know, I imagine there are millions of good Christian mothers and sisters who have prayed that prayer. You've heard the country song probably, or at least some of you have, if you would admit it. Please don't take the girl. Please don't take the girl. Daddy, we're going fishing. Don't take the girl. Don't take the girl. We're going hunting. Don't take the girl, Daddy. Don't take the girl. They grow up and get a little sense to them. And the girl's sick. The girl is near to dying, and he has a change of heart, and he cries out, please don't take the girl. Please don't take the girl. I think most of us can understand that. Please don't take the girl. It's one of the reasons, by the way, I'm not for women in combat. I'm just not. Please don't take the girls. Let us men go. We'll go. We'll pay the price. Now, you may feel different. That's fine. I'll still have a hamburger with you. But that's the way I see it. Don't take the girls. The girls can do all kinds of other things, but I'm not willing to put them in harm's way instead of me or some other man. I'm not willing to do that. But if we're selfish people, the perfect solution is to become one strong in intercessory prayer for others. Brother John R. Rice, a great former preacher of our continent, said, prayer is asking. And it is. And the best prayers we can pray are for others. Now, I share this from the archives. And Brother Deke was not here, but I think he'd appreciate this. I share this from the archives of the Lee family. And I'm talking about the Robert E. Lee family. The record shows that he had, and he was a strong Christian man, regardless of what you could say, other things about him, he was a strong Christian. Very much a Christian man of conviction of God's word. And he had a strong Christian affection towards one of his generals in particular. And I'm talking about General Thomas Jackson, otherwise known as Stonewall Jackson, who also was a very strong, committed, convicted Christian man. Both are ardent Christians, or both were ardent Christians. After General Jackson was gravely wounded, and I think that was Fredericksburg, right at the tail end of Fredericksburg, unless I got my battles wrong, I think that's where it was. A messenger was sent to General Lee, as the record shows. And I quote, the tone of the messages sent by him when Jackson lay wounded were both affectionate and familiar, showing the feeling that existed between them. Quote, give him, and this is General Lee, referring to the messenger who had come to him from the side of General Jackson. And this is the message that he wanted that messenger to convey back to General Jackson. Give him, General Lee says, give him my affectionate regards and tell him to make haste and get well and come back to me as soon as he can. He has lost his left arm, but I have lost my right. Now that's moving. That's moving. When it became reported that the wound might prove to be fatal for General Jackson, Lee was greatly shocked and exclaimed with deep feeling, quote, surely General Jackson must recover. Surely he must recover. God will not take him from us now that we need him so very much. Surely he will be spared to us in answer to the many prayers which are offered for him. Then pausing with deep emotion, he added, after a silence of some moments, to the young officer who made the sad communication to him, and he said, quote, when you return, I trust you will find him better. When a suitable season offers, in other words, when he's more alert, when a suitable season offers, give him my love. And tell him, I wrestled in prayer for him last night as I never prayed, I believe, for myself. Now, I'm not here to advocate for the Confederacy. I'll save that for some other time. I am here to advocate for intercessory prayer, and that's what that is. That is. Praying for another man that he dearly loved, one of his commanders, but more importantly, a fellow saint of God, as he had never prayed for himself. That's a perfect picture. Now, prayer for others, we pray because we have faith that God will do a work in their life. So we ought to be praying for others and looking for the fruit of that prayer in other people's lives. We ought to be looking for the fruit. Just like the Lord said, I'm sending you forth that you bear fruit. We ought to be going and looking for that fruit. And when we pray for others, we ought to be looking for the fruit of those prayers for others. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. Ye shall receive. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We often pray in our prayers, we pray for others. And we pray for others the way we think they're praying for us. And you might be surprised how much other people pray for you. I've had people that I thought wouldn't turn a lick for me in my life. Frankly, they would have little or no respect whatsoever. And I find out from somebody or some writing or something somewhere along the way that they pray for me. Matter of fact, I was up in Rogers, Arkansas, and a mom and daddy met me there. So when I was up there preaching for Brother Pearson, and they told me, he says, we pray for you every night. Every night. Well, you're just way up here, you know, almost a Yankee lad, you know, and you're praying for me every night. And I turned to Miss Dory and I said, were they praying for me every night? She said, think about it. You know, we little men are a little bit hard-headed, right? She said, think about it. Both of their son-in-laws, you have a major part in playing spiritually in their lives. Both of them. Said, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess you're right. But here out of nowhere, here's a faithful, loving couple, I mean strong Christian couple, some of the greatest pillars in that church. And every night, they're calling my name in prayer. Every night. What a blessing. Unexpected blessing. Now, we should be praying for all saints of God and those we like and those we do not like. We ought to love everybody, right? But honestly, we don't like everybody, do we? Well, we ought to be praying for all of the saints. And we have help in this selfless endeavor because the Spirit makes intercession through us as He lives within us. So again, to go to Ephesians chapter 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit is intercessory prayer for other people. And so we have a great aid in the holy endeavors of all the things that be of God because the Holy Spirit lives in me and He lives in you. You know, Satan is the great accuser of the brethren. Remember that. Satan is against every Christian you know and every Christian you do not know. He's against them. Satan and his imps gang up on Christians. Do you know that? They gang up. I am going to turn this. Because I turned my back and blew my nose right in the microphone. And I turned around and said, well, ain't that a blessing? It was gross. It's what I ripped my britches royally that night, I tell you. I really did. But Satan and his imps gang up on believers. It's like the mobs. You know, I feel sorry for some of these people. They end up walking right into these mobs, you know. Antifa or whoever they may be, or these Palestinians screaming, you know, death to Jews. I feel sorry if they just walk right into it, man. And I feel sorry for them. They're so ganged up. And you can't win. You can't be rational. It's like trying to reason with Adolf Hitler. You can't have a rational conversation with lunatics. And that's where they find themselves. And when Satan and all his imps, they all gather up and they all start screaming, you hate, you hate, you hate, and all this other kind of garbage. You're just judging all of that. Just know nothing of the Scripture, nothing of the instruction of Scripture. You feel ganged up on. I'm here to tell you, greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. Amen. You don't ever have to feel like you're outnumbered, because you're not. You're not outnumbered. Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Day, even when you're asleep, Satan is busy day and night accusing the brethren. Satan is then loosed on earth. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? But one day, the accuser will be bound and never be freed again. Revelation 22, he laid hold on the dragon. Who's the he? Well, that's God Himself. Lays hold on the dragon. Boy, that will be a day to remember. Lays hold on that old serpent, the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and then forever in Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So know this. The devil and all of his imps, they'll have their time. They'll have their say. It'll be shrill and it'll be ugly. But one day it will end. It will end. Until that time, remember and be careful to know that we, the people of God, we need one another. We need to be praying for one another. I need you to be praying for me, and I need to be praying for you. There's an old song, you know, pray for me and I'll pray for you. But it should be, I'll pray for you. Would you pray for me? In other words, let us be the initiators of a selfless life and a spirit that if you would, propagates itself to praying, intercessory prayers for other people. Let us model Christ long before we expect anybody else to model Christ to us. Let us be the first ones to kick selfishness out the door and say, from this day forward, I'm going to manufacture in my life some parameters. I'm going to set up some disciplinary measures in my life, and I'm going to become a person of selflessness. And I'm going to do that primarily through intercessory prayer. And by the way, the works will follow. You pray for somebody. You pray for God's blessings. Don't be surprised if you're moved to write a little note or do something a little nice, you know. Don't be surprised if God moves in your heart to be a blessing to them. Amen? Amen. All right. Take your prayer sheets.